1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Going to go open phones here, final hour of our program. Whatever's on your mind, 1-800-449-8686. And we'll talk to you about what's going on with us. Let's go over to Los Angeles. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, Phil, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good.
Phil, I am a big fan of your show. I listen to your program every afternoon.
And dear, you need to speak up a little bit.
Yeah, I said I listen to your program every afternoon. I love listening to you, and I wanted to know if you had have you followed that Rudolph Giuliani case?
Who?
Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, Rudy Giuliani? No, what's going on with him?
They had released a report that his wife left him because he was having affairs. His wife's name is Donna Hanover, and that his wife left him because he was having affairs. And that she didn't want to put up with that, you know. And
no, I did not follow that. I know that the mayor has prostate cancer, right?
Well, that was the part that I wanted to call you about, because the real reason it has to be spoken about, because I had a husband, Phil, and I know you are a father and a husband.
Yes, I am.
And I had a husband who had prostate cancer, and he had no longer functionability in his penis. I turned 71. My husband died 10 years ago at the age of 65. He had prostate cancer. And I tell you, the last 2 years was very sad. It was very difficult.
How much was he in a lot of pain?
Well, yeah, he was in, I'm talking about the fact we did not have a relationship.
Oh, you didn't have sex because of that?
That's correct. And I'm telling you that I did not have the comfort and the release of his sexual functionability. And so let me tell you that when my husband was healthy, he provided a great deal of release, Phil. But do you hear what I'm saying? In other words,
well, what you're basically telling me is that the Rudolph Giuliani's wife did not leave him because he was having affairs. She left him.
She left him because they did not have erectile. A sexuality.
They did not have any sex. Well, that's not what she says.
Well, believe me, do you know that it is in the Bible that if a man cannot satisfy his wife and he cannot erectile, that she may leave him?
It is in the Bible? No. What is that? Where does it say?
If the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. And also in the Torah says that every Sabbath you have to be erectile. And you must provide your erectile satisfaction to the woman that you live with.
That is in the Torah?
Yes.
What about that, Mike? We got a Bible expert over there. You're telling me that in the Torah and the Bible both there is a prescription, there is a mandate for men to satisfy their wives. Is that it, dear?
That is correct. In the Torah, it is written that a man must satisfy his wife on a Sabbath. My husband, Richard, was very sexual and erectile on Saturday. Well, he got prostate cancer. He was not erect no more, and I was no longer wanted to have a man, you know.
And all right, so your husband got prostate cancer, and as you say, he was not functioning, right?
He was not erectile, that's correct.
Not erectile, okay.
And so I met a man who carried groceries down at a grocery store. And I had an affair with him one afternoon, and I kept on having more affairs, and that was a hell of a deal, you know, all these affairs that I had.
And how many men did you meet?
I just met one man.
Oh, you met one man, and you had a lot of encounters with him.
I had a lot of encounters with him, that is correct. And
well, do you believe that that is right? I mean, you've got a husband who... How old are you, dear?
You know, don't call me dear. All right, I'm an old woman. You don't have to pay. I am a woman that...
Well, all right, how old are... What is your name?
My name is Mavis. I'm 71 years old. My husband couldn't bring no lumber, and that's all there is to that. And I'm just telling you that, you know, it was rough for me.
All right, dear. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you dear. So your husband had prostate cancer, and you believe that that is why Donna Hanover left Rudy Giuliani.
That's right. I think that man wants everybody to think that he is having a lot of affairs, but I think she left him because he is not erectile and has a no and has a dysfunction. And I really think so, and I think that whole that's bad on account of that.
Let me go back to what you were saying about in the Bible. It's mandated that a man must satisfy a woman. You're using the quote, "Be fruitful and multiply and go forth." Correct?
That is correct. It also has biblical foundation in the Torah.
And you also say in the Torah, it says every Sabbath, a man
On a Sabbath, that's on Saturday, you have to be erectile, and you must perform your erectile satisfaction guarantee. You know, and you have to get it off. Now, my husband Richard, I love him very much. And
well, was your husband still alive when you went out and had an affair?
I'm sorry?
Was your husband alive? Okay, so your husband's got prostate cancer, and he's not, you know...
He was no longer erectile.
He was no longer erectile, and so you went out and had an affair. I mean, you were with a guy... What was this guy, bagging groceries at a grocery store?
Well, nobody wants to elect... That's right. And about Rudy Giuliani... Nobody wants to elect a limp man. That's why he wants people to think that he is having an affair.
So Rudy Giuliani, through his press people, is spreading information that he's having affairs.
That's right.
Because in point of fact, the poor guy has a dysfunction.
He is not erectile. He does not have erectile. And as a result of that, he wants everybody to think he is a man. Now, I tell you, that's going to help him because they are almost crucified Bill Clinton. They said that he should not have an erectile with a woman. And he had that Monica Lewinsky giving him all kinds of treatment, right?
And that's right.
And they want to run him out of office. Now, Rudy Giuliani is not going to have everybody say he have an affair, right? And they're going to run him out of office. But I know it's not true.
Okay, so Rudy Giuliani is a better man than Bill Clinton because he's not screwing around on his wife, huh?
He's not screwing around on his wife, that's right. Because he have an erectile problem. And so
all right, so Rudy Giuliani is a trustworthy guy.
He's a trustworthy man, but he's a limp. He got a limp penis. Now, I would ask you a question and see if you answer the question for me.
What?
Would you elect a man who is honest but can't bring it? Or would you elect a man who's dishonest but can bring the lumber? What do you do?
Would I vote for a guy? You're asking me...
Will you vote for a man who is a dishonest man like Bill Clinton but brings endless amounts of lumber? Or would you vote for a man like Rudy Giuliani who is an honest man but he couldn't get up $5 for a card game, let alone getting up the erectile?
I guess I would vote for Rudy Giuliani because a guy's sexual prowess means nothing to me, being male myself. Now, if I were a female voter, I would hope it wouldn't affect me either.
Well, that's the thing. It does affect a female voter. See, the female won't vote for Rudy Giuliani.
Women won't vote for Rudy Giuliani because he can't perform.
Because he can't perform, that's right.
Isn't that a little shallow?
I don't know if it's shallow or not. I know he can't do it in bed. So what makes you think he won't be able to do it out there in the world, you know, at a politician? And that boy I met who was carrying groceries down at Ralph's, I had affairs with him all afternoon because he was erectile.
You keep saying that he was erectile and your husband was an erectile, almost as if it's a kind of animal. You know, it sounds like reptile. Just say that they were functional. How about that?
They had functionality. But I tell you, if you can't bring the sausage to the frying pan, you are not worth nothing, and Rudy Giuliani not bringing that.
Can't bring the sausage to the frying pan.
That's right. That's right. So that's why I say that...
All right, hold on, dear, okay, for just a second.
Well, that's all I wanted to say, really. I just want to say, you know, that Rudy Giuliani is a limp man. He's a legless man. Now I don't know if you want to elect him president or not.
A legless man. All right, hold on for a minute. Would you get this lady? Where do you get these people, Schaefer? Rudy Giuliani is a legless man. Wow, that's tough. That's hard. That's cruel. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Doing open phones here. We do have a lady on the line talking about Rudy Giuliani and his prostate cancer and the fact that because he has prostate cancer, he couldn't possibly be having affairs. Now, his wife left him with the comment that she didn't want to be with him because he was having affairs on her. And this lady at least believes, one lady believes, he couldn't be having an affair on his wife because he had prostate cancer. And it's something that he doesn't want to admit to because impotence means he's not a good politician.
I think impotent means that he is not a strong leader, you know, and so yeah, I think it's better if you, why would Rudy Giuliani want them to say that he is having affairs?
Why would he want them to say? Because maybe it's true.
No, because that would keep him from being in public office. I think that he don't want people to think he's limp. He can't get a heart on, you know.
And, okay, we need to maybe clean that up a little bit, but I know what you're saying. Here is Placentia.
Hi there.
How are you? Hi.
Good. I'm a 23-year-old female voter, and I highly disagree.
You're 23-year-old female what, ma'am?
Voter.
Yes, ma'am.
And I highly disagree with your recent caller on saying that sexual performance has anything to do with the public office and how you perform in there. First of all, I want to say shame on her for having an affair on her poor husband that didn't, like, that was basically on his deathbed if he was dying from prostate cancer.
I was lonely. I had to have some. I was very lonely.
Okay, but you know what? Shame on you for having an affair. And secondly, I'm a 23-year-old voter that has and believes that your sexual performance has absolutely nothing to do with how good of a politician you are.
But the Bible said that a man must satisfy his woman with his erection. And
you know what?
The Bible says that a man must satisfy his wife.
Right, and the Bible also says, and the Bible also says that it's actually one of the Ten Commandments that you shouldn't have an affair.
That's right. See, the Bible also, the Bible says you can't have an affair.
But
right.
I was very, very lonely. My husband could not bring it any longer.
You know
what?
Maybe
the Bible says you have to satisfy a woman using your erectile. You can't use no rubber dildo, and you can't use no vibration, like wooden vibrator or nothing like that. So if he can't satisfy me with his full, fully engorged.
Okay, could we clean it up just a little bit here? All right.
Well, do you know what I'm talking about, ma'am?
Oh, I absolutely do.
When you are used to getting some action every day for 50 years, and then one day the well runs dry, it's time to drill for water, you know?
Well, I just completely disagree with you. I mean, maybe, you know, I...
Let me ask this question of both of you ladies.
Okay.
Bill Clinton was dishonest. He was cheating on his wife. Rudy Giuliani is honest and says that he's having an affair on his wife. Which guy would you rather vote for?
Rudy, absolutely.
But he cheated on his wife. He lied to her. He didn't honor his marital vows, hurt her, drove her from his home.
Has this all been proven?
Apparently he's admitted to it.
See, that's what I'm saying. He's lying. He never had no affair because his pecker is as limp as asparagus. That's all. Do you understand what I'm saying, ma'am?
Well, maybe the problem's with you. I mean, maybe you're the reason why your husband couldn't get it up.
My husband had prostate cancer, you dumb bitch. And
okay, that's it.
Well, that's not very nice.
No, that's not very nice at all. She's gone. My husband had prostate cancer, you dumb. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. I was getting in the elevator, by the way, going up to the studio today, and there was a guy standing in the elevator. anyway, the guy was holding Battlefield Earth, an L. Ron Hubbard book. And it was one of those things where I thought I was having a... one of these deja vu experiences, because I had seen here where Melissa had written something about Battlefield Earth, the book as well. Now I realize that it's a damn movie. Battlefield Earth by L. Ron Hubbard is a film starring John Travolta. Now, wasn't he a Scientologist? See, all this stuff is beginning to it's beginning to make sense. 1-800-449-8686. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, you must have a limp pecker, too, for you wouldn't have hung up on me and you.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Also, this Battlefield Earth thing. What is that about? Is that a book that he wrote? Is that a book that L. Ron Hubbard? Now, is he a... The Scientology thing has something to do with outer space, doesn't it? And you better get me some decent calls, Crozier. And Schaefer. Crozier isn't even... Crozier's back in KFI. He's not... Look at... Just help me, will you? And I wanted to say that. 1-800-449-8686. So let's talk about that on the Phil Henry Show. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
You are limp, pecker, no good.
It's about the end times, according to Scientology. Battlefield Earth. So something's going to happen. Outer space will attack. Well, it was just very interesting, and the guy was there, and he looked very studious. He had glasses, a bit graying, shorter than me. I'd put him in his mid-50s, and probably completely mad. Probably completely certifiably mad. 1-800-449-8686. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
I bet you couldn't get it up if you...
And we're also going to be... Oh, man. Be talking about those things, too. All right. We'll be taking some phone calls here real fast. Will you help me out here? 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Henry Show. Hi, you're on the air.
What's the matter? Are you the kind of guy that's got to grab a hold of it?
I was at Disneyland the other day, and it was really a lot of fun. So I hope that you people can enjoy Disneyland the way that I do. I go there with my family all the time. Hi, you're on the air.
You got no leg. You couldn't get it up.
Another good ride that I like. God damn. Please don't put her through again. Will you? Just don't put her through again, okay? Okay. I'm ready. You're on the air.
You put it in a knot hole in the fence.
You're on the air.
That you got a baboon into the...
You're on the air.
My husband's 78 years old, man. He could outdo you in a...
Forget it, man. Just forget it. I hate all of you people. And I hate you, Schaefer. You suck. You can't screen calls.
I bet your penis looks like...
By the way, when you get the 60s soundtrack, keep in mind, this is from the movie The 60s on NBC. It's just as bad as the 70s soundtrack. I just wanted you to know that. Listen to this winner. Here's what they got on this one. Actually, it ain't bad. It's better than the 70s one. But they've got Eric Burdon and the Animals' Winds of Change. Now, of all the Animal songs in the world, I'd like to hear It's My Life. I'd like to hear Don't Bring Me Down. I wouldn't mind hearing Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, House of the Rising Sun. Not Winds of Change. Eric Burdon doing a protest song. And how about this winner? Draft Morning by the Birds. Kind of all the bird songs. So you hit a home run with that one. Now we go to the 70s anthology you got here. Listen to this. Free All Right Now. I played that 112,000 times when I worked over at the classic rock station. No more, okay? And Sweet Home Alabama, you know what? You are a bunch of rednecks. I hate you. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
AUTO.
You 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. 1-800-449-8686. So tomorrow's the big concert. I got to take the kids out tonight to get a Mother's Day gift. I told them to meet me at the house, and we're all going out, and we're going to buy Mom 4 gifts, and then I'll get her one, and then we'll be done. You know, I had to remind them, she's your mother. She gave you life. I want you to get the guilt feelings going real early on this one, and I want you to feel devoted to her and feeling like, you know, like if you have an alcohol abuse problem later in life, that you could always look back and say, you know, I was tied to my mother's apron strings. I want that for you. No, it's serious. Shut up. Seriously, so I'm going to take them out. And, you know, they're fighting over, what do they want to get her? There's a talking picture frame, and there's diamonds. They wanted us to throw in our money, and we'll all get diamonds for her. Naturally, I'm the guy that's going to get the, you know, I'm the pocketbook here. I'm the guy with the checks. I'm the guy with the plastic. So I got to get these guys and go over and get, I don't know what the hell to get her for Mother's Day. You think that's a day for a guy to get his wife something? As opposed to, like, a Valentine's Day or perhaps her birthday. I don't know that, what? She's a mother, but she ain't my mother. She's my wife. But those kids, I mean, that's her doing, not mine. Like her birthday, Valentine's Day, Christmas, all meaningful days. But Mother's Day, you expect me to go out and break the bank on that day? Forget it. No, I don't know. I'll probably get her a couple of pounds of jewels. I'll probably get her some gold something or other. By the way, I don't know what the hell's going on with my arm. My left arm, I still get rashes on it from my watch. You should have seen this thing a month ago. It looked like I had leprosy. Now it's fine. Now there's nothing wrong. And it's only the left side. I got leprosy on my finger from this ring. I don't know what the hell it is. Somebody called a show a few months back. They said, the left side of your body must be secreting excess acid. And I said, speaking of acid, no, I don't know what the hell I was doing. And my finger is weird and my, it's God, I don't know. Last night I got home, I felt like I was carrying a medicine ball around in front of me. And all I had was about 14 pounds of guacamole and some chips. So, you know, the physical maladies continue. Any event, I took to wearing this leather band watch. It's like toad. Like a toad licking? No, Phil. No, I mean, whatever your name is, Craig, no. It ain't like toad licking. I'm not licking my own freaking arm. What I got here is a leather band wristwatch that I wear, and I put the wristwatch on, and I did that because the gold band or the metal bands was giving me a rash. Now I put on the leather band, and everything was fine for about a year until I got this leprosy-type crud on my left arm. I mean, it was a scary thing. So I started wearing my watch on my right arm, and people give me that look. You know, everybody wears their watch on their left arm? Whatever that's about, right? I'm wearing it on my right arm. I can look at my right arm just as easy as I look at my left arm. So what the hell you got it on your left arm for, do you know? Because you write with your right arm and you don't want to drag it along? Is that it? There is no good reason. It's just custom. I'm putting it on my right arm, okay? Because I put it on my left arm, it's going to fall off. So I'm taking the kids out tonight, and we'll go and buy some crap. I wonder how much money I'd have spent. You know, I bought my wife some earrings for Christmas. Bought her a pair of earrings. I think I can be honest and tell you, maybe I shouldn't. Well, in any event, she said to me, did you buy them from Harry the Jeweler, or did you go over to Bonehead Johnson? I said, I went over to Bonehead Johnson. I bought them. You idiot. You should have got them from Harry the Jeweler. Look it, they're a present that I'm giving you. You moron. Well, she said, I just had them appraised because I want them insured. Actually, you got a pretty good price because they were appraised for much higher than what you paid. But the fact of the matter is, go over to Harry the Jeweler. Don't ever go to Bonehead Johnson. So you buy her a gift and she's telling you where to buy it, you know, where to shop for it. You know what I'm talking about? Does that happen to you? That's women, right? You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Women are cheap. As much as I love her. She's a great, you know, she's the end all and the be all. Great gal, man. She's cheap as hell. Isn't there some other thing you could have purchased, you know, like for that money? I mean, maybe we can get, why are you getting that kind of bread? Because I like it. It's whole wheat. It's full of rich nutrients. Just get the Vons sandwich bread. The Vons sandwich bread, as much as I like Bill Davila, you're all great people over there, I don't want their Vons sandwich bread. I can't make no good sandwich with that. Well, the kids like it, and we'll get about 15 loaves of that bread that you can wad up like a ball. No, I want to get the real expensive stuff, okay? Anyway, I bought her these earrings, and they cost a lot of money, and I brought them home, and she went and had them evaluated for the insurance, and now she wears them every stinking day, but I'm never going to go over to Bonehead Johnson again. She wants me to go to Harry the Jeweler, so I got to go over to Harry the Jeweler and purchase more gold for my wife tonight. I have to go and get some couple of pounds of gold for her, and she's going to be just happy as hell there for Mother's Day. Just a couple of gold bars. And then tomorrow we got to go to that Wango Tango, which I'm not looking forward to, because I'm not looking forward to driving, getting into the car, driving into the traffic, and then going to the show and seeing, I don't even know who's going to be there. The only act that's going to be there that I own all of their albums is NSYNC. The rest of it, Lenny Kravitz, I don't know who's going to be there, but the kids are going ape. They want to see it. And by the way, kids, I told them, our seats are going to suck, and no, you don't get a backstage pass, and we're walking. We're not taking a cab, not taking a limo, we're going to walk. And they were very okay. They were okay with that. Just so long as they can go to the show and have a couple of beers. I figure, what the hell, a kid's 14, he's entitled. But do you know who's going to be at the show? Anybody even remotely interesting? Or is it just going to be one after the other, one 12-year-old act after the, just one little kid band after the next? Ah, man. Boy, well, I got a hand at the Kiss. They know their audience. They are so beautiful. And I went to the thing last year. I was so blown away by the way they were able to promote it. And they had all the disc jockeys on stage. It was awesome. And they had Will Smith out there hugging the DJs and stuff. How'd you like that? Hey, Mike, can we get some kind of a personal appearance where Will Smith hugs me and calls me his main man? He had Rick Dees in his arms embracing. Deep, long, wet kisses in the shower till 2 a.m. and calling him his main freaking man. And I couldn't, who's my main man, okay? I couldn't even get one of the guys that killed the ball boy at a Dodger game. I ain't his main man. The only main man, I'm Schaefer. I'm his main man. And, all the DJ, they really did it up, man. You want to know why? Because that radio station, they spend bread, man. They got like $12 million a month on promotion. They pay their disc jockeys like $8 million a year, each of them, and they still spend about $15 million a day on promotion so that they can get cats like Rod Steiger, Elliot Gould, Marlon Brando, every heavy, Robert De Niro. They even have a Humvee, man. They drive a Hummer around to promote all their stuff. They're awesome. They're solid. What are we doing? How are we promoting things, huh? A chili cook-off! I want to go up on stage and I want to have all them cats come up and hug me and say, I'm their main man. Not because I have any great desire to meet these people, but it looks good. It looks good on a resume after I get canned from this gig. We need a Phil Hendry Humvee. Forget that. Phil Hendry needs a Humvee. Forget about the show, man. I'm driving that around as my own personal vehicle. My own personal vehicle. The big two-seater Humvee. The thing with the drivetrain about as mile as wide as a freaking football field. Something that has absolutely no practical use whatsoever. Something that's as ugly as hell. Something that costs you $100,000. That's the Humvee. I want one. The Humvee. Two-seater. You can get maybe four people in it. Then you can squish maybe a little three-year-old in the back laying flat. Throw a couple of bags, two suitcases, that's it. You got a drivetrain on this thing that is the size of Niagara Falls. It looks like the drivetrain for the freaking Boulder Dam. It's got big fat meats. It's up off the ground about 48 miles. Arnold Schwarzenegger has one. You can't even mount a machine gun on the top of this thing. And it costs $100,000? And driving it down the road, you're the most ostentatious guy. You look like an idiot. You look like a moron driving one of those. I have to be honest with you, and I wouldn't lie to you much. You drive a Humvee, you look like a grade-A clown. You do. You think you're cool, man. You're taking up two lanes. Everybody thinks you're a major, major hole. You know, am I right or am I wrong about that? Or am I just being jealous? Oh, I'm jealous? Okay. You pick whichever hole you want to be. That's what you is in your Humvee hole. And, oh, my God. You know, I got to tell you something. If I ever buy a Mercedes, if I ever get a really good car, you think I'm driving it to work? You're dreaming. You think I'm going to drive it into work? Like when I worked at KF, when we were down at KFI, you think I'm going to take a Mercedes down there? See, after a long, hard day on the job, I don't really look forward to getting jacked right outside the radio station. So if you don't mind, I'll keep driving my very unobtrusive garbage can to work day in and day out, which my wife is embarrassed we have parked in front of our house, but that's okay. I drive a real rolling piece of crap. You think I do? Well, actually, I don't. Well, now you have to guess. You'll never know, because I don't want any of you clowns following me home. But I will never, ever drive a really good car for anything other than, like, taking my wife to dinner and maybe, like, going to the store and just looking cool around Westlake. I ain't driving no heavyweight 80 grand car into town, into this nut house, into L.A., zipping along in my Mercedes convertible with my car phone glued to my ear just so I can get jacked somewhere down around Normandy. No thank you. With a sweater tied around my neck and a banjo on my knee. I got my old pickup, my old Ford Ranger pickup parked in front of my house. I'll never get rid of that. That car I took Marie out on, that was our first date, in my truck. And I'll never forget, I took her to Santa Anita Racetrack. We went for the Santa Anita Handicap. I hadn't been back in town for long, and I wanted to go to the Santa Anita Handicap. There was like four people showed up for that race. Horse racing is in such big trouble, and you people are not interested in it, so I won't bore you with the details other than to say I grew up in Arcadia, so it was a big industry in my town. My little town of Arcadia, the horse racing was a big deal. So I take Maria to the track in my little Ford Ranger truck, and I didn't give a crap. Which is probably why she thought I was such a great guy, because here he is driving a piece of crap and he has the guts to pick me up in it. You know what? There must be something worth admiring in this man. So anyway, I valeted it, right, Craig? And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And the kid comes running back from the lot. He goes, I can't bring your car. I said, why? I don't know how to drive a stick. The kid's parking cars for a living and can't drive a five-speed. I said, well, join a club. Neither do I. And we got a cab. You used to valet your 65 bug? Good for you, man. Your 65 bug. That's an awesome little set of wheels. How long you have that? You still got a 65 bug? It's gone, long gone. I got my buddy, the redhead, man. He's got a 65 bug sitting behind his house. All he does is just go out there and smoke joints in it. He doesn't drive it. He just goes back there, has a big, tall malt liquor, and just kind of sits in it. It's a cool-looking car. Frankly, I don't think it's got an engine in it. And he paid like 20 grand for it. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show. Don't forget the website, philhenryshow.com. And I wanted to mention again a really cool website where you can find out about the lawsuits of Steve Bozell, www.angelfire.com/CA4/Phil Hendry, PHILHENDRIE. And I don't know what I'm doing, but we were just talking about Craig's 65 Volkswagen. I had a 67 Volkswagen. It was my sister's. The first car I ever had was a 67 Volkswagen bug, which I burned the engine up on. Actually, no, I gave it to my kid sister, and she burned the engine up on this thing. And then I had my friend's 69 VW bug, which he sold to me when he was coming back to California. We were living in Orlando at the time, and he sold me his bug. He came back to California in an Opel Kadett. That blew up in Arizona. So I had the better part of the deal. But in any event, I think the reason why he sold me this thing is we were taking some girls home one night, and some dude just turns right into me. So it wiped out the whole right side of the car. But he said, well, you can have the car. It still drives. And there was nothing. The chassis was fine. But, the door was bent in. So generally, you went on a date, she was crawling in through the window, or she had to climb over the gear shift. And I had an extra carburetor sitting in the front. So this one girl I took out one night, she climbed in over the gear shift and spilled oil all over herself, you know. And I thought, God, if we'd known each other better. Anyway, so that thing, and then I took that, stripped it, gave it to a friend of mine. He turned it into a dune buggy, and the next thing you know, he's racing it in Mexico. And you know what? I find out now that all of these cars are like classics. In other words, they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and I was, letting girlfriends crawl in through the window on them. What's this crap? You're gonna fly. You're gonna die.
Phil Henry.
What?
Dr. Pepper come in a can.